Good evening, everyone. I selected this chant tonight. It's not new. It was in our previous version of our sutra book, but it has come to be very helpful and useful chant for me, and seemed to fit with things that were coming up for me over these past few days. So I thought I would just share a few of my reflections on this. It comes from the Lotus Sutra, which is a very, very, very old sutra. And I'm glad it's included here. And one of the things that I think of whenever I hear the title, the Lotus Sutra, is I always think of Dogen, one of our ancestors from Japan, who's one of the founders, I guess the first founder of the Soto lineage. And as I understand it, he had such high regard, perhaps even love, for the Lotus Sutra that it found its way into our Orioki chant, our formal meal chant, that we, when we're doing Orioki on Sesshin, that we chant at every meal. So it makes me think of him. And one of the things that I resonate a lot with in this chant is this this word reverence, and reverently making offerings. It makes me think of another chant in our book, Bodhisattva's Vow, where he talks about our ancestors gave reverent care to animals, birds, and all beings. And this act of reverence, of caring so deeply, of seeing that we are not separate, and arising from that, this awakened heart just comes forth with this deep care and compassion and love for everything. The other thing that is really important to me about this chant is it reminds me that there are lots of ways to enter the path. We all have our own life, our own life experiences, and we all find our own way. And some of us, all of us here tonight, have been lucky enough to find the path of Zen, this path of waking up, and this sutra holds up for me the possibility of lots of ways to wake up, and I greatly appreciate that. And it seemed to resonate strongly with me about one of the other chants that we did about, see if I can get there, the secrets on cultivating the mind, which we talked about a little bit the other day. And in that, there's this section that talks about both sudden and gradual cultivation. Sudden awakening, gradual cultivation. Also holding up two ways to enter. I can get caught sometimes because I feel and I think that that I haven't had a big earth-shattering experience of oneness. At least not that I recall. And at least not that I recognized as such. I may in fact have had one, but I didn't see it, thinking it would look different. And sometimes I can feel less than about that. That without such a thing, could my practice really be authentic? Could I really be a true person of the Zen way without having had one of these experiences where the earth moves? And I know today that the answer to that question is yes. I am a true person of the way. And as I see myself, I see myself more as a person who is showing up and sitting upright in the middle of this gradual cultivation. Letting all that arises wear down these beginningless habit energies that I have, and showing up to everything that's here, turning toward it. Both of these chants are pointing to something really important for me around a practice that I have that I call the practice of enoughness. I often see arisings for me that require that the universe, this great universe in us, be different than what it is. I think whatever is arising is not enough the way that it is. If I could just adjust it a little bit, it would be more to my liking. Sometimes it arises as if I could just change this completely. It would be a little more to my liking. And these teachings encourage me to leave it alone. That it is not my business. Not that I could change it anyway. The universe is universing regardless of any requirements I might have of it. I simply meet my suffering as I try to make adjustments. But this practice of enoughness, that things that arise may or may not make me feel a certain way. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with what arose. It just means I'm very attached to a particular idea about what should be happening. This happened to me in the early part of my koan study. I kept thinking that I should feel different. I should be having some other kind of spiritual experience than what was happening in my koan practice. And it was very disturbing to me. And I decided to put the koans on the back burner for a while, off to the side. And upon picking them up again many years later and reflecting on that experience, I could see very clearly the requirements I had been putting on the universe and us and how it was arising for me, thinking that it should be a certain way and it wasn't the way that it was showing up. And really being completely convinced that something was wrong. This radical teaching that we practice of turning toward what's here and not meddling with it. And of course, I see myself meddling. Sometimes actually getting in meddling, and sometimes just desperately wanting to meddle, and it also arises sometimes as enough, just the way it is. So, big earth-shattering experience. Small, tiny openings and awakenings. Many of the things that we sang about in this sutra tonight. This practice of enoughness, of coming forth as we are, with what's here right in this moment, and letting it be enough.
Thank you.